According to a tale, Odin and his brothers slew a giant called Ymir after the Battle of Ragnarok and set about constructing the world, which is the Earth, from his corpse. And they created the oceans from its blood, the soil from his skin and muscles, vegetation from his air, clouds from his brains, and the sky from his skull. And then four dwarves, which corresponds to the four cardinal directions, held the giant skull above the earth. Now, there were small amounts of flakes of Ymir's skull that started falling from the sky and then disintegrating. I'm sorry guys, but this is not a spoiler from any upcoming Marvel movie, but this is actually how the Norse mythology explained comets. And according to the Norse mythology, comets were actually a part of the giant Ymir skull. But now that we know that's not the case, let's talk about what comets really are. So welcome you all to another episode of Astrophysicals Podcast. This is Aman and with me is Shweta. Hey Shweta.
Hi Aman. Hi guys.
Cool. So Shweta, why don't you give us an introduction about comets, what comets really are?
Yeah, that was a really good anecdote. But okay, let's get into the real thing then. So comets are not, you know, like Aman said, they're not that. But comets are essentially cosmic snowballs of frozen gases, rock, and dust, and they orbit the sun. So when frozen, comets are in the size of a small town. So that's how small they are. But when a comet's orbit brings it close to the sun, they heat up and they spew a lot of dust and gases into a giant glowing head, and that is larger than most planets. So this dust and gas form a tail, and this tail stretches away from the sun for millions of miles.
Yeah, and these phenomena are due to the effects of solar radiation and the solar wind acting upon the nucleus of the comet. And if sufficiently bright, a comet may be seen from the Earth without the aid of a telescope, and have been observed and recorded since ancient times by many cultures and religions. And there are like billions of comets orbiting our sun in the Kuiper Belt and even more distant Oort cloud. So Shweta, what brings them close to the Earth?
That's a nice question. So the gravity of a planet or a star can pull comets from their home, say in the Kuiper Belt or in the Oort cloud. So this tug can redirect a comet towards the sun. So parts of these redirected comets, they look like long stretched ovals.
Okay, so that would mean as the comet is pulled faster and faster towards the sun, it swings around behind the sun and then heads back toward where it came from. So some comets dive right into the sun, never to be seen again. But when the comet is in the inner solar system, either coming or going, that's when we may see it on in our skies.
Yeah, and comets usually have very high eccentric elliptical orbits, and they also have a wide range of orbital periods. So they can range from several years to even potentially several millions of years. And the word comet comes from the Greek word comets, meaning long hair. I would have butchered that Greek word because I'm not Greek, but yeah. And this is because of how a comet's tail can look like a long flowing lock of hair. That's nice, right? But okay, Aman, now that we've seen what are comets and all of that, so can you say if there is any difference between a comet and an asteroid? I mean, are they different or are they the same?
Well, no, they're not the same. An asteroid is a minor planet of the inner solar system, and comets are distinguished from the asteroids by the presence of, say, an extended gravitationally unbound atmosphere surrounding the central nucleus. And this atmosphere has parts termed the coma, which is the central part immediately surrounding the nucleus, and then the tail, which is a typically linear section consisting of dust or gas blown out from the coma by the sun's light pressure or outstreaming solar wind plasma.
Okay, so you must have heard from Aman that, you know, two different words like coma, the nucleus, and the tail, and all of that. So what are those, right? So these terms are nothing but the physical characteristics of comets. So let's look at them one by one. So first is the nucleus. So nucleus is the solid core of a comet, and it consists of frozen molecules that includes water, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and so on. Which is essentially dust. So this ball of dust and ice is usually less than 10 miles across. That is about the size of a small town. So when comets are out in the Kuiper Belt or the Oort cloud, scientists believe that it's pretty much all there is to them, right? It's just frozen nuclei.
Yeah. And then the second characteristic of a comet is called the coma. But when a comet gets close to the sun, it starts heating up, right? And eventually the ice begins to turn into gas. This can also cause jets of gas to burst out of the comet, which brings dust with it. And the gas and dust create a huge fizzy cloud around the nucleus, which is called the coma.
Yes. And then surrounding the coma is a hydrogen envelope, and that can be up to 6.2 million miles long. And as the name suggests, it's made from hydrogen atoms. As the comet gets closer and closer to the sun, this hydrogen envelope eventually gets bigger.
Yeah, and then there's the tail. So there are basically two main types of comet tails, the dust and the gas. So comet tails are shaped by sunlight and the solar wind and always point away from the sun. This dust tail traces a broad, gently curving path behind the comet. Okay, and the other tail is bluish and is made up of electrically charged gas molecules or ions. And the ion tail always points directly away from the sun.
So we can see a number of comets with naked eye when they pass close to the sun because their comas and tails reflect sunlight or they even glow because of energy that they observe from the sun. But however, most comets are too faint or even too small to be seen without a telescope. And comets usually leave behind a trail of debris behind them, and that can lead to a meteor shower on Earth. For instance, the Perseid meteor shower that occurs every year between August 9th and 13th when Earth passes through the orbit of comet Swift-Tuttle.
Yeah. Now let's talk about some famous comets that we've been learning since childhood. So the first one is the most famous one, the Halley's Comet. Right. And in 1705, while studying the orbits of several known comets, Edmund Halley found that the comet observed in 1531, 1607, and later in 1682 was one in the same. And as a result of Halley's discovery, the comet was named after him. And Halley's comet is visible every 75 to 76 years.
Oh, yes. And the next has a pretty long and a weird name, and that's Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9. So this is also known as the SL9. For obvious reasons, and was a string of comets that was captured by the gravity of Jupiter and subsequently began an orbit about the planet. So the orbit of this comet assumed about Jupiter was, however, highly irregular, and as a result of this irregularity, SL9 crashed into Jupiter in a brilliant display during the week of July 16, 1994. So SL9 is named after its discoverers, Jeanine Shoemaker and Carolyn Shoemaker and David Levy.
Yeah, and then there is the Comet Hale-Bopp. So Comet Hale-Bopp is best known to most people for the much publicized Californian cult who believe the comet to be a spacecraft. And the Comet Hale-Bopp was last visible in 1997 and will not be visible again for approximately another 2,300 years. And it is named after its co-discoverers, Alan Hale and Thomas Bopp. So now Shweta, we have heard about the disasters caused by asteroids, meteorites, etc. on Earth, right? So, are comets a bigger danger than asteroids?
Oh yeah, that's right, because we've seen a lot of movies made about that. But, okay, let's get into this then. So, near-Earth asteroids called NEAs, they have Earth-like orbits, so their collisions with Earth tend to be glancing blows from behind or even from the side. But comets travel around the sun in more random paths and can thus slam into planet head-on, with potentially catastrophic results, at least that's what researchers say. But in fact, comets can be traveling up to three times faster than near-Earth asteroids relative to the Earth at the time of impact.
Oh, so that means the energy released by a cosmic collision increases as the square of the incoming object speed. So a comet could pack nine times more destructive power than an asteroid of the same mass. Whoa. So the speed of comets also means that a dangerous one could be nearly upon Earth by the time scientists detect it, right?
That's right. I mean, at least that's what it sounds like. But despite all of these factors, however, the focus on asteroids as Earth's primary impact threat is not misplaced. There are probably trillions of comets out there, but the vast majority of them reside at the extreme outer edge of the solar system, so in a shell of icy bodies known as the Oort cloud. So near-Earth space, meanwhile, is dominated by asteroids. So scientists think millions of near-Earth asteroids exist, but only about 11,000 have been discovered and tracked so far.
So guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. So until next week, this is Aman Mohan signing off with Shweta Ramkumar. Bye guys.
Bye guys.